Well, good morning. Am I on? I'm on. I can hear myself. Well, good morning. It's good to be with you again. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Dave Collett, and I'm from Worcester. And I work for an organisation called the Good Soil Trust, which is based in Worcester. And I work as an evangelist there. And my heart is to meet with people and share the good news that that Jesus brings to us. And you know, we live in a nation at the moment that is desperate for good news. And you know, so it's exciting. I suppose I do lots of my work. I meet people who are maybe unemployed with mental health issues, drug and alcohol issues. So that's where most of my work is done. Last time I came, I think I showed a video, but I've got a more up-to-date one. Apologies if I've got that wrong. I won't show that right at the moment. But first of all, I wanted to read a passage from the Bible, which is from Acts 3, and it's verses 1 to 10. I'll read it from here. Acts 3, 1 to 10. Okay, and there's just a verse in here that's just really been speaking to me, and it's been on my heart, so I was just going to share that with you this morning. So here we go. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him, the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with him to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Okay, and the bit I really want us to look at today is, I'm just looking for it now, I've lost it with my eyes, is our role today is to see people raise up and rise up in the name of Jesus. And that verse is just been speaking to me about the power of Jesus lifts people up. And lifts them from their condition. And what a great hope we have and people have in Jesus. So we're going to unpack that a little bit later. But for me, that's a really important passage that we're going to look at. But I'll just show this video. Apologies if you've seen it before. But I think there's a few other faces here the last time I came. So, this explains what we do on the project. It works. Well, the Good Soil Project is based on a farm, so there's growing, planting, harvesting. We've got chickens, pigs.
Yummy.
Is it?
Pictures here.
It's a safe place where people who may not have ever experienced work can work in those different areas, learn skills, prosper and grow.
Well, I've been addicted most of my life since I was 16, mainly opiates, methadone, heroin, morphine, stuff like that. And I love coming here now. I've just stopped working with people, helping people. People have been through the same thing as me or going through it. It's awesome.
I was in my 50s and I suddenly ended up on a benefit system which I'd never been on before and ended up getting evicted. And I'm drinking on the street.
Yeah, never go on this side of the line, huh?
We're here for people that have been homeless or are homeless, maybe with mental health problems, addiction problems, and ex-offenders. We're here to help them get back on their feet and to provide them the encouragement that they need to make some good life choices.
Essentially, we're providing meaningful outdoor activities for anyone that's struggling with challenges in their life, and we can help them to see there's still opportunity and they don't have to be bound by the chains that often hold guys that are in those situations.
My life was just going nowhere, really. Days revolved around getting and using drugs. 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
I've had problems with alcohol. I was an alcoholic for 10 years. And I'd suffer from epilepsy. And I was always stuck in the house. My friend introduced me to a member of staff that works here. And they invited me to come to the project.
The chaos in some people's lives is just incredible, really. And just being taught those basics again, like getting up, coming here, that you can work, building a structure to their life is massive.
I can't claim the tomatoes as mine this year, although I'm going in there next. What else am I going to be doing?
If you're with a group of folks that are just street drinkers, you get involved in things you don't want to be involved with. So I'd just sooner be focused on something like this, because it is help. It's definitely help.
Yeah, I enjoy coming down to the project. I like doing the work.
Oh, real.
And I like digging and making things.
I just love the place for people. Yeah, so I find it difficult, challenging sometimes, but it's really helped me.
I was misusing, but obviously that's changed since I've been up here. For like 4 years now, so that's how long I've been up here.
We want to meet people, get to know them, and all they need is somebody to believe in them. They've never had that in their life. And if we can get alongside them and believe in them and give them just a little bit of an encouragement, they will fly.
With a project like this boat, people begin to reintegrate into purposeful activity, into task-orientated work. And that really enables you to keep relationship and community going. And they're the things that are really important to us. Community, relationship, purposeful activity. You add those things together and you've got a recipe that all human beings need, you know, whatever stage of life they're in.
Obviously, there's a lot of skill to woodwork, and that boat has come out really fantastic. We launched at a top barn. At first, I was afraid to go in there because I don't really like the water. But obviously, I got the courage up to go in it myself. It was a good day.
The boat, like the land-based work that we do here on the good soil, it is a way of just getting your hands onto a purposeful activity, something that's got a real achievable end to it, and something that's really delightful as you work on it and as you see its end product as well.
If I hadn't come here, I'd still be stuck in the chaos. I normally do chickens, clean the troughs, feed them, water them, pet them, try and keep them friendly.
Come on, losers.
I'll collect the eggs, get attacked by the cockerel.
I'll do the eggs. You have to clean them, pack them into the boxes, label them, and then the last job is stamping them and packing them. It's a job I really enjoy doing because it sets something alive inside you, because you come up here, you feel free, you've disciplined yourself, like. I honestly believe that it's given my life hope. I've not had that in like 30 years. And before, I just felt so alone. And so lost.
See, I was an isolation quite badly, and I didn't realise until I came out here how bad I was in isolation. Didn't have this project, I could be living rough for right now. I just know I wouldn't be in a very good place without this input, and it all started here.
Just connecting with people. I mean, we live in a world where there could be thousands of people around you, but you can still be lonely. And just learning how to connect with people again is so, so important. I think the word love is a really important word to just show people respect and love, and just to walk with people. That's the idea.
It is a Christian-run thing. They'll pray for me when I've been bad. That just helps you feel good, doesn't it? It's not... It's maybe not a big part of my life, but you know people care for you. And that's what I like. And they mean it. You know, it's not, like, artificial.
My faith is certainly the faith of the other guys that work and volunteer here. I think reflects our commitment to want to see all aspects of a person's life influenced by essentially the love of Christ.
They just love you, and they just show you compassion and do their very best for you, and they just treat you like one of their family. And it's just an amazing place to be where I am today.
My biggest hope is that this had an impact in their life, that they always look back and say, you know what, I encountered the love of Jesus at that project, and they were good to me, and God was good to me.
This is Jesus when he started his ministry, okay?
And Jesus is central to what we're about, and Jesus talks about forgiveness. That's a huge part of recovery for many people, both forgiving others, but also forgiving themselves and receiving forgiveness. He also talks about a fresh start, and many of the people we're working with, the thought of being able to start again, a fresh life, is a very powerful concept.
There's nothing that can stand in the way of God. He can overcome all things, even all things in your life, all things in my life.
I think to see transformations in the lives of the people we're working with requires prayer. And so people can pray that we see total transformations in their lives, and that needs intervention from God to do that.
It's just really important to back us in prayer. Just praying for breakthroughs, really. And just that people have God encounters.
I've tried many things in my time to try and get high and get a buzz. And nothing is like coming out here, having a day's work, listening to good people, good words. And Jesus, it's natural buzz. It's brilliant.
Okay, that just shows a little bit of what we do and what we're about as an organisation. Just at the back, I bought a box of eggs. Well, I think there's about 30 boxes of eggs. Now, all those boxes must go. So if you want a box, just help yourself. I think somebody's put a tin in there, but I'm not expecting any money. You know, you just take a box of eggs, take some for your neighbours, and take those. Also, there's a couple of prayer letters. We do a prayer letter on a quarterly basis. So please take one of those. If you'd like to go on the list to receive one, just let me know an email address or else I can get it here if needs be. And also, if anybody feels led to support us, there's some forms there which you can get some more details from. So, but I'm here afterwards if anybody would like to ask any questions. But, you know, as I was talking, our heart is to see people raised up, okay, in the name of Jesus. And that's what we're really all about. So let's just have a look at... this passage in Acts, and it's an interesting, isn't it? I was just thinking before I was coming up about the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as some would say. These disciples, these apostles, were changed, weren't they, when they encountered Jesus, and they went out anointed by Him to do acts of acts that the Lord had inspired them to do. And people's lives were transformed. People's lives were changed by the power of Jesus. And we see that here in Acts chapter 3. And we're introduced to a lame man. It says in the NIV, is this the NIV?
Yes.
Yeah, it says in the NIV, a crippled man. And he was crippled from birth. And if you look in chapter 4, verse 22, it says he was over 40 years of age. So when you consider this man, he'd never ever walked. Okay? He'd never ever experienced putting one foot in front of another. Okay? Never known anything about it. And obviously seen it many times, people walking, but never experienced it for himself. And each day he was carried out by another person to this gate called Beautiful, where he would beg. He was reliant on other people. He was reliant on other people. And, you know, that makes me think about our society today. You know, in modern Britain, lots of people, in some respects, are lame, but they know nothing about the love of God. Okay, and particularly in our country now, I meet with people who've got no concept of who God is or anything about him. You know, you go back 40 years, 60 years, and churches were thriving in this country, weren't they? And there was a general knowledge about who God was. But today, we're living in a world where people have got no concept of God. And they need to, because lots of people in pain and in guilt and in shame and in heartache and in pain, and they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with it, and they're lame from those things that are crippling them. And sometimes lots of the people I meet cover those issues maybe with drugs or with drink, but the core issue is still there. And the issue is they need to meet with Jesus, who can deal with those issues. Okay? And just like this lame man, they know nothing of it. And they've never experienced it. And I was just thinking of a man I have a little bit to do with at the moment. And he's to be honest, he's a violent man. And how old is he? He's probably mid-30s. He is a violent man, and he's quite loud. But I've had a few meals with him and a few chats with that man. And the core issue with him is when his mother walked out on him, okay, and abandoned him. And that has caused him to drink and made him into a violent man. But the issue is that abandonment by his mother. She just called him and said, I'm leaving you. And that was the last he heard of his mother. And that's what I'm talking about people being lame and people in pain. And sometimes it's not what you see. You may see the aggression and the violence and all that, but underneath that, there's something real going on. And that young man needs to meet with Jesus, who can help him with all those issues. Help him to the core, okay, where nothing else does. And what happens is, just like this lame man in this story, he built his life around his lameness. Okay, so he accepted it, and he was carried to this position every day where he would beg. He would beg to the people going to the temple, and that was his life. His whole life was built around that lameness, and he had a daily routine. He probably didn't even know what day it was, because every day was the same. Okay? Every day was the same. And sometimes, you know, we have routine. We know what day it is sometimes, but some people have no idea, no concept what the day is. Why? Because it's all the same. It's all the same. And that's what was happening with this man here. And you may have picked it up in the film. You know, some people have no routine. And at the farm, we want people to build a routine in which Jesus can speak into that routine. But we live in a society today where you can do nothing and receive. And it makes a real apathy in our society. where people don't have to work and they'll get benefits. I'm not knocking the benefit system at all, but sometimes we want to create those people where they do something, where they enjoy. Our God's a creative God. He wants people to be creative. So going out to the farm is to see people making things and doing things and things to grow gives people joy, because our God's a creator God. And that's one of the ideas of the farm. But it's important that people do have a daily routine. But routine can be dangerous as well, because in routine there can be no expectation. Okay, we can just get into routine. I could ask you why you've come to church today. Okay, I don't want you to answer. You answer in your own heartbeat. You can come to church just out of routine. It's Sunday. It's 9:30. The alarm goes off. Let's get to church. And that can be routine. Or are you expectant this morning that God will speak with you and meet with you? Because that's what God wants to do. You know, he wants to meet with us and speak with us and have a relationship with us. And we need to be expectant for that. You know, because we'll find out that this lame man was expectant. Okay? He was reaching out for something. He got more than he was reaching out for, but he was expectant. And sometimes, you know, I think that's a message for us. Are we expectant? Or are we just in the routine of coming to church? But I want to meet with Jesus, and I want Jesus to speak to us and to empower us, you know, in the situations that we face, with the people we meet. And it's exciting, you know. So this man, he's there, he's begging, and who comes along? Who comes along? Two men come along called Peter and John. Peter and John were disciples, but they had a real deep relationship with Jesus. If you have a look at some of the stories, those two were really close to Jesus, and their relationship with him was paramount to both of them. And they were some of his closest. And they were walking to see this man. And this is something that really, really spoke to me. You know, this lame man, in effect, was sat outside a lame church, because the temple at that point wasn't recognizing that Jesus was the Saviour. Okay? So those people were just going to the temple as routine. Okay? And what were they doing? They were walking past that lame man and they were throwing money in his bucket. Okay? And what was that doing? It was making them feel good, but it wasn't changing his circumstances in any way at all. Okay? It wasn't doing anything. That could have gone on for years and years and years. But then these two men came along. Two men who had relationship with Jesus and wanted relationship with this man. And their routine, they were going to the temple, as they probably would do every day to pray, but they allowed their routine to be stopped by what Jesus wanted them to do and the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And they stopped, didn't they? Okay? And these were men anointed by God, Spirit-filled, and not men of routine, but they were men of faith. And they looked at this man, didn't they? Fixing his eyes on him, he said, "Look at us, what have we got?" So he gave them attention, expecting to receive something from them. The man was expectant. I want us to be expectant. Okay? And Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have." Peter was saying that silver and gold is not going to help you. It's not going to sort you. You need something else. You need something else. And what happens is, he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You know, these men were in tune with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and knew what God was expecting of them. And as soon as he said that, do you know what happened? What happened when he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk"? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Nothing happened. Okay? When he said that, nothing happened. And then Peter reached down and lifted him up. And at that point, the miracle happened. Okay? It took faith. And God wants us to be a people of faith. And what I'm saying to you there is miracles happen in the process. Miracles happen in the process. Okay? And what I mean by that, it's... I'll read a little passage from Isaiah. And what God asks us to do, he gives us simple instructions, okay, to do things, okay? And when we do those things, miracles occur, okay? Now, I'm not a farmer. I get a bit embarrassed because I'm going to talk about farming here. I've got Clive here, and I'm thinking... very little about farming, but Clive would know a lot. But listen to these things. God tells us to plant. Okay, so what we do, we put a little seed in the ground, okay, we cover it up, we put a little bit of water on it, and do you know what happens? No. It germinates. Can I tell you, the miracle happens, okay? The miracle happens, and I can sit back and think, look at my crops, look what I've done, when in reality I've done a very simple thing, and God has been the rear guard and done the miracle. And that is when that seed explodes into life. Okay, I'll just read this little passage in Isaiah. It says this is Isaiah 58. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you may bring your house to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." Okay? And I just wanted to say, you know, when you see people in situations that you might find difficult, just honour the Lord and obey him in doing the simple things. And he will be your rear guard. And then the miracles will happen. And the amazing things. And I have to say, that'll be... that's God's work. And we've been praying for a house so that we can house some people who want to move forward in their lives. And you know, you're thinking, oh, right, how's that going to happen? And Lord, we just need your help in this. And I've had a few people pray for my wife and I that we need to house people. We need to provide a home where people can go on with the Lord. And you're thinking, well, how can this be done? And then I was holding a meeting the other day. These thoughts have been going on in my mind for about 5 years. And I was at a meeting the other day, and after the meeting, somebody called us and said, "I'd like to buy you a house." Okay? And do you know, over those 5 years, I've been planning and scheming how we could get a house, you know. But then God comes and blows your mind and says, I'll provide. Okay? And he does. The Lord is the rear guard. You do the simple stuff, and he will provide the miracles. Okay? And I just want to encourage you this morning to step out and to meet with people in your lives, okay, who may be struggling, who you may not have the answer for. But pray with those people, meet with those people, and see what God will do. Okay, because he will. Okay? And you know, he wants us to be people of faith and to really follow him. And do you know what? God's realm of expectation will blow your mind. Okay? And sometimes we have to fight for these things, just like Peter did. You know, you're thinking, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And you know, I'm not saying he did these things, but you can think, right, what's happening now? But he was a man of faith. He said, come on, pulled him up. And during that process, the healing happened. And it's amazing, isn't it, that this man went walking and leaping and praising God. And this was an act of the apostle. This is an act of one of the apostles, sorry. And he's calling us to be the same in whatever situation we're in, whatever person, and to see people raised up in his name. Not to see people lame and struggling, but to see people raised up by him and to stand and know him in a deeper, greater way. And I was just thinking this morning as we were hearing about the fuses, you see the trouble this caused? The Pharisees blew a fuse at this, didn't they? That they didn't like it of what was happening. But the power of Jesus affects people's lives and transforms people's lives. And God is moving, but he wants us to be a people of faith where he can work in us and through us and in partnership with us. That's amazing, isn't it, that God wants to work in partnership with us. And you know, we see it in farming, but he wants to see it in farming of people. Just like, as it says, the fishers of men, we want to be farmers of men and women to know the power and the love of Jesus. And I just want to encourage you this week that that's a message for you, not corporately but individually. Okay, in the people you meet, in the situations which are difficult, okay, in the people that may be difficult, that Jesus wants to meet with those people. And he wants to show you things as well of about how great he is. So be encouraged that God is with you. And if he says to do something simple, just obey it. Because he is our rear guard. And he can do amazing things. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn, which is O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your name. We thank you that your name is above all names. Lord, we thank you that you came to seek and save the lost. And Lord, we just thank you for your amazing, amazing grace and forgiveness to us. And Lord, I just pray for everyone here that they will just know the power of your Holy Spirit and your presence with them this week, wherever they are. And Lord, just take away all fear. And I pray that we'll just be a people bold for you. And Lord, just obeying and comforting people, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you're our rear God. Lord, that you come in power and your heart is to see people raised up and knowing you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.